Okay, let's take our Bibles. Turn to Genesis chapter 12. We'll just look at three verses today. Genesis chapter 12. Of course, some other verses that go along with this. And we're talking about in this series the resilient life, the victorious life, the overcoming life, the life that that shows that we are spiritual Christians who love the Lord and we are able to have that victory. So today's lesson deals with the journey is the reward. You'll see that as we go through it. The journey produces certain things that are good for us, and they would be considered rewards. It's overcoming the unknown. Overcoming the unknown. And let's read these verses, and then we'll make some comments about the lesson today in these verses. In Genesis 12:1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And by the way, that has not been rescinded in light of what's going on today. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. A lot was said in those three verses. Some promises based on Abraham doing what God told him to do. All of us are going to face in our Christian lives uncertain times. We don't know today what tomorrow holds, do we? We don't even know what the rest of the day holds. And so we have a lot of future times that we're not sure about, but we have to trust God on our journey as His children on our way to heaven. That's important for us to realize. Now, if you know the problem, you can sort of work on it, and you might be able to solve the problem. We all have problems, and we know what it is, and we do that. But then there are some problems that we don't know about. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what the solution would be because we don't even know what the problem is. There may be a few indicators that would suggest that a problem is coming. You might go to the doctor and have a test, and he might say, this could be this or this could be that. You don't know what it's going to be, and ultimately you'll find out. But the indicators may suggest that there's a problem, but it's different from when we can identify the problem. And finally, we can do it, and then we move forward. But Abraham was going in the unknown. God said, get out of the Ur of the Chaldees and go to a place that I will show thee. I'm not telling you where you're going now, but I'll show you if you'll obey me and do what I tell you to do. So Abraham believed God's promise and the promises that he gave him. Abraham lived around 850 B.C., before Christ. And this was a time that was such a unique time for God as he moved through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob later on, and then finally, ultimately, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham was the father of the nation of Israel. He was the first one that God used in that capacity as the father of the nation of Israel. He was 75 years old whenever God made that promise to him. 75 years of age. And, of course, at that time had no children. And so these challenges that he had were challenges that only God could give him, and he had to trust God. And we look at one of the maps, if we can show that map, where he went, and he traveled from Ur. You see it should be to the right of you, and up to Haran, and then all the way down to Dan, and then finally, ultimately, in Canaan. Now, remember, when he started out, he didn't know where he was going. He had no idea. God didn't tell him. God said, you trust me and move out. And so he left the Ur and went to Haran. That's all recorded here. Then Dan, and finally there to Canaan in that situation. And then he came probably passed through an area that we would call Abraham's Gate. If we look at that, that's still there, and some people can go and see it. We got to see what they considered to be that when we were on one of our trips. But probably he went through this area that is now the ancient city of Dan. And the gate is nearly 4,000 years old and probably erected before the time, obviously, of Abraham. So it's an amazing thing. He heard the voice of God. He was in touch with God. And then he began to follow God by faith. And that's something that, to make it practical, is necessary for all of our relationships with God. What is that? Faith. All of our relationships with God center around the word faith. They are asked by faith. Are you a Christian? How did you become a Christian? You became a Christian by what? Faith. You trusted Christ as your Savior. Now, Abraham, as I said, 1,850 years before Christ, what was the basis of Abraham's relationship with God? What was that basis of his relationship with God? It was faith. And that's what the scriptures say. Genesis 15:6, and he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And then in Romans 4:3, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And so you have that stated in Genesis, again in the New Testament in Romans 4:3. Our beginning point in our life was started by faith. And we trusted Christ by faith. I got saved by faith. How did you get saved? I got saved on a Sunday night in a little country church in a revival meeting. I was 9 years of age. And when the invitation came, I'd been sitting with my friend and we talked a little bit. I don't know how I got away from Daddy. Mother was sick. That's how I got away from her. And so we were sitting back there. But boy, when the preacher got the preaching and he came down on it there at the end of that message, God pricked my heart. And by faith, I went forward as a 9-year-old lad and accepted Christ as my Savior. I did it by faith. And then 2 Corinthians says, after that, we continue by faith. We get saved by faith. We ought to continue by faith, for we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. That's the way it's supposed to be. And sometimes, though, that we want to see it first. But without faith, it is impossible. He didn't say Hebrews 11:6. Some of these may be in your notes there. But without faith, it is, he didn't say unlikely that you'll please God. That's not what he said. Or that maybe you would. But he said, without faith, it is impossible. That's a strong word. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that takes faith, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We believe all of that by faith. Faith, trusting God. So two things that he requires: have faith and then diligently seek him. That's what he's talking about in these verses. So number one in the outline, faith to follow. We need faith to follow. Faith is exercised. Abraham is our example of that. And he did not have a dormant faith. He had an active faith. Faith is not really faith unless it's put into action. And, you know, God could have spoken to Abraham and told him to leave his hometown and travel to an unknown place. And he could have said, well, I've got faith, but I don't think I'll go. I know you can do it, God, but I'm just going to stay here. I know you can do it. That's sort of like tithers. I know, God, that if I tithe, you could bless me, but I've got faith in that, but I'm just not going to do it. But anyway, Abraham was told by God, and what did he do? He didn't argue. He just went. Why? Because he had faith in God. He heard, and then he followed. He heard what God said, and then he followed. So Abraham, 12:4, Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. That's really all we need is the Word of God, and to believe the Word of God, what God says. And we do it by faith. And so he received his word and he obeyed by faith. And Abraham began to take it one day at a time as he made that journey that we showed you. Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he did, and he went out not knowing whether he went. Took a lot of faith. A lot of times we approach it this way: Lord, you show me your will, and if it fits in my plans, I'll do it. You show me what you want me to do, and I might work it in. But we have to commit ourselves to God before, and then know his will and do his will. Don't just hear it. What did James say? James said, don't just be hearers of the word, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. And he went on to say, you're fooling yourself if you're doing it opposite of that. Be doers of the word, not just hearers. A lot of people hear a lot of teaching, a lot of messages, a lot of devotional material. They just don't do it. They like what they hear, but they don't do it. We ought to put ourselves in Abraham's faith, place in Sarah's. What a situation. I can hear, as it were, Sarah saying now, he had told her, Sarah, God spoke to me today. And here's what he told me. We need to move, okay? How far are we going to move? Well, I don't know. Well, we going on a short trip or a long trip? Well, I really don't know that either. About that time, most of you wives would have bailed out right there. You wouldn't have trusted your husband. And is it the same country where we live? I don't know. I don't think so. Do they speak our language? I really don't know. He didn't know a lot, did he? How will we know what supplies to bring? Well, I don't know. We'll just have to bring enough until we can find more when we run out. How long will it take place? How long will it take us to get there? I really don't know that either, Sarah. All I know is God said, go. Take off and go. And she must have been a pretty trustworthy wife, because she did what he wanted to do. A little better than Job's wife responded to his problems. But suppose Abraham had rationalized and said, well, I know God can take care of us. No doubt in my mind, I have faith. He's almighty. I'm not going to move out. I'm not going to do it. I'm spiritual. I believe he could do it, but I'm not going to move out. And in Hebrews 11, in the Hall of Faith, the word faith is used in Hebrews 11 16 times. Faith is used 16 times, and 15 times it's referring to a person who took action, a person who moved out, a person who took action. By faith, Abel offered, verse 4, and by faith, Enoch was translated, verse 5, and back in our text in that area. By faith, Noah prepared. By faith, Abraham obeyed, verses 7 and 8. By faith, Abraham sojourned, verse 9, and by faith, Abraham offered, verse 17. All of this. So faith reveals itself by the actions that we do. Faith moves. Faith works. Faith trusts God. Faith goes out. Faith builds. Faith obeys. And we're relying on the faithfulness of God to keep his word. And he always keeps his word. We have problems today, but what about the problems in the future? We just have to trust God. We don't know the future. My wife has Parkinson's, and we found that out, I don't know, a year or so ago. We don't know where that's going to go, but we do know God's going to take care of it, and God's going to use it, and God's will is going to be done. And that brings peace in your heart. You don't get angry. You don't get mad. You just trust God and let God take care of it. So that's faith. Faith is exercise, and then faith is expectant, B in your outline. God's promises were what made Abraham obeyed. He was expecting God to to keep his word. So Abraham's faith produced friendship with God. He's the only one that we know that God said that he is my friend. Isaiah 41:8, but thou, Israel, art my servant, my friend, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. And then he said in James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. He had faith. He moved out on that faith, and God recognized it. So he was called the friend of God based on his imputed righteousness. And so we have that too. We get the imputed righteousness of Christ. Christ died, paid our debt. He imputes that to us. How? By faith. You got to reach out and receive it. You have to take that gift of eternal life. And then he continued to grow after that and grew so much that entrusted God all the way to some of the most amazing things that God called him his friend. He was a friend of God, a friend of God. Then Abraham's faith required patience. God made the promises, and God told him, you're going to have this land, your descendants, I'm going to give you these descendants, and then the whole world is going to be blessed by you, through you. And maybe he began to wonder, well, now, when's all this going to happen? And how long is it going to take for these things to happen? I'm moving out. I'm trusting. But there was delay about getting in the land, some 400 years. There was 25 years after the promise of a son, before a son came, 25 years later. And then ultimately, it was 1,800 years later when Christ was crucified, so that that latter part was fulfilled. All of this was because of Abraham's faith, and he had to wait on the Lord. And that's all part of having faith. The blessing was the journey. As he was making that journey and these things came up time after time, he grew in the Lord, but yet he was faithful. He was growing in the knowledge of the Lord through his experiences. And that's what God wants us to do. You know, I think serious Christians, let's underline that word, serious. Serious Christians really want to be close to God. Don't you think that's true? Serious Christians, those who really mean business, want a close relationship. I know that's what I want. The problem with some Christians is they want it instantly, without the trials, without the difficulties, without the problems. The process is walking with him. And the journey shows us that he's there, and that is our reward to cause us to grow in the Lord. The journey is long. It's God's timetable always. Anyone can rejoice when things are good, but when things are bad, it takes a spiritual Christian to do that. And we grow during those test times, those times that are tough, when we depend on him. Have you ever had a time in your life like that where you just didn't know where it was going? You were waiting on God and waiting to see what God was going to do. After I graduated from seminary, I talked to a pastor that was out for the May Fellowship meeting, Dr. Barber, and we always had that May Fellowship meeting, and Brother Gene Arnold was there, and Elizabeth, you all knew them, and we were talking, and he said, well, you're graduating, and so on and so forth, and he said, I need a youth man. And I thought, that's good. I'm ready to go. I want to go. And he said, I said, you need somebody to work with youth? I'd be glad to do that. And he said, well, you know, when you get things all squared away here, come on up. And so back in those days, you didn't discuss, Dr. Barber, you know, we didn't discuss salaries and what are the benefits and what are the perks going to be. We just said, God call me and I'm going, and we'd go out. And so, but when I got there, I remember the first time in his office, he said, I have a man in my church that might give you a job. I'm thinking, wait a minute. You mentioned me coming up and being your youth director. I figured you might pay me to do that. if I lock, stock, and barrel loaded up and went up here. But that wasn't what he was thinking. He was thinking of a voluntary person. I don't know if somebody changed his mind or what. But for one solid year, I had to work in sales work. And I did not like it. I did not like it. I didn't like being away from home. It was one of the most miserable years of all of my life. But I volunteered to be a youth worker. And God bless, and the youth department grew and everything. And then after about a year, when it looked like I was going to be going somewhere else, they went ahead and hired me. But that was one of the hardest times for me to figure out, God, what are you doing? And I'd have to visit these presidents of companies and CEOs and all of that, and I just didn't like that kind of stuff. But God used that too to make me a little more bold. But it was a time when I just had to trust God, and it all worked out, and here I am today. But sometimes we face those things. And so the psalmist said in 25:4-5, show me thy way, O Lord, ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all day. That should be our attitude. That was Abraham's attitude. He was waiting on the Lord. So faith to follow. Secondly, faith for the journey. He was willing to follow, but now going into the journey. Faith for the journey. Genesis 12:9, and Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. That map, as he went out of the Ur and came on down around Haran in those places. And so this we would call a traveling faith. A traveling faith. Hebrews 11:9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And so he went through Hebron. This was the burial place of Sarah. He lived as one who had hope in God's promises without having to see all the immediate fulfillment. But God took care of that. So it's a traveling faith, and it was a tested faith. Genesis 12:10. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. He's made this journey, and he's trusted God. But remember, like all of God's children, he's a human being. And Satan was after him. And he convinced him to do something that was a very wrong thing to do. And so he did it. The United States Federal Aviation Administration, FAA, has a device. It's a unique device for testing the strength of wind chills on airplanes. And the device is sort of it's a gun that launches dead chickens at the plane's windshield. And that tests that windshield, and it launches at about the same speed that the airplane flies. So here comes this chicken and hits the windshield. The theory is that if the windshield doesn't crack from the carcass impact, then it'll survive real collision with the real birds during the flight. And so they test that. Well, the British wanted to test a fast train. They have fast trains over there. And so they decided to borrow the FAA's way of doing that. And so they got the launcher, and then they loaded the chicken, and then they fired the chicken, and the ballistic chicken shattered the window. It broke the window. And they were trying to figure out what happened. And here was the problem. They said, you were supposed to use a thawed chicken. And the rest of them had used one that wasn't thawed. But they tested it and found out. Well, God allows our faith to be tested. You know that, don't you? He does allow our faith to be tested. And so Pastor Adrian Rogers said this, a faith that hasn't been tested can't be trusted. Isn't that true? A faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. And most of us have had it tested. Watching Abraham's failures ought to encourage us to hang in, to not give up in those situations. And so he had three major tests. One was the test of truthfulness. The famine detoured him a little bit down into Egypt. And Sarah obviously was a very, very beautiful and attractive woman. Genesis 12:13. And he said, so I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. He said, look, they're going to notice you're a beautiful woman. They're going to try to kill me if they know you're my wife. So just tell them you're my sister. Well, what was that? It was a lie, wasn't it? It was a lie. You say, well, Abraham could lie. No, he wasn't supposed to lie. Lying is wrong. Thou shalt not lie. We're not supposed to lie. And so this happened, and he wound up having a rather bad testimony in that situation, and Pharaoh kicked him out. And you know the story. I don't have time to go into that. But we're tested sometimes. We get our focus on the circumstances, don't we, instead of keeping our focus on God. And we need to keep our focus on God. Compromise to get out of the test is not what God wants us to do. And then there's the test of generosity, a test of generosity. He gave Lot the better land as they got there. His nephew was with him, and he gave him the better land. And God blessed Abraham for being generous. God always blesses generosity. We don't always have to have it our way first, give me the best. Genesis 13, and you can read it in verses 10 through 12. I'll just go to verse 11. Then Lot chose him all the plains of Jordan. Those were the beautiful plains of the land. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan. That was not the best territory, and so Lot got the other. By the way, he wound up in trouble, didn't he? Because he didn't treat it like God wanted him to. So there's a test of truthfulness and generosity, and then, as we've sort of mentioned, the test of patience. The first promise, he gave him a promise of a son. Abraham is 75 and Sarah is 65, and God says, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a child. They grow older and they still are childless. And then they lost their patience. That's a practice that a lot of Baptists have, don't we? They lost their patience, and they decided to take things, matters into their own hand and help God out. And so Sarah said, take my handmaid Hagar and let her have a baby by you. And she was trying to help God out to get that promised seed. But that was not what God wanted. And the result was trouble. And by the way, some of the trouble we're having today goes right back to that. Goes right back to the descendants of those very people to some degree. And so it was not God's plan. And the results were trouble. He failed the test of patience. And that is a moral failure. How's that? When you don't trust God, it's a moral failure. You got to trust God. Tension later came from Ishmael and Isaac and all of that. We need to be careful. If we question God, we're actually losing faith in God. And we try to manipulate it, and we shouldn't do that. And God confirmed his promise, so, and gave him a son. Then Genesis 17, 15 through 19. And God said unto Abraham, for as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. I will bless her, she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall come out of her. And then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. He had a lot of faith, but here he laughed. And said in his heart, shall a child be born unto me that is 100 years old? That's how old he was. And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Take Ishmael. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. So Abraham was 100, Sarah was 90, and 25 years since the promise, and God told them it's going to happen. It seemed ridiculous to them, and both of them laughed. I don't think God really appreciated that, but God responded to her, and he said, is anything too hard for the Lord? In other words, it's too hard for me. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. In other words, you'll be able to have a baby. And Sarah shall have a son. Genesis 18:14, he's saying it's going to happen. And so they named him Isaac. That is translated, guess what his name means? Laughter. The word Isaac, translated accurately, means laughter. I think that's funny. Anyway, an essential truth when facing the unknown is this. Nothing, remember this, is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. He doesn't need our help to help him out to intervene. Nothing is impossible with him. Sometimes God allows delays. Why? To test our faith. James 1:3-4, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God will keep his promises. He's going to keep his promises, and we know that. Now, in a book written by Ronald Reagan called An American Life, he told of a disappointment in not receiving a job that he had applied for. And we're still talking about waiting on the Lord and his promises. And he wrote this, I quote it, "I was raised to believe that God has a plan for everyone, and that seemingly random twists of fate are all part of his plan. After I lost the job at Montgomery Ward's, my mother told me that everything in life happened for a purpose. She said all things were part of God's plan, even the most disheartening setbacks. And in the end, everything worked out for the best." He further explained this way, "After I lost the job, I left home again in search of work. Although I didn't know it then, I was beginning a journey that would take me a long way from Dixon and fulfill all my dreams and then some." So his disappointment turned out later on, amazingly, he became the President of the United States. You see, God works these things in our life, and we have to trust him. We have to have patience. We have to wait on the Lord and let God do what God's going to do. We can't always see how God is at work in our disappointments. We can't always see that. We wonder about it, and that's human. God, I don't understand this. I don't know why you allowed this or that or the other. I mean, that's human to sort of wonder about it, but don't get mad at God about it. We can't always see how God is at work in our disappointments and what we would call seeming setbacks. Sometimes we have what seems like a great setback, but we can trust him. Amen? And we can walk with him in patient faith. Paul Chappell, that's a quote from him. And that's a beautiful quote. Let me read that again to you. We can't always see how God is at work in our disappointments. That's true, isn't it? And seeming setbacks, but we can trust him and walk with him in patient faith. And that's what we have to do. The faith to follow, and then faith for the journey. And then next week, we'll talk about faith to sacrifice. We'll review those things and then go into that last point. And that's quite an interesting story, one of the most beautiful stories in the Word of God about Abraham and Isaac. And boy, you talk about taking faith. That took faith. So we need to move by faith. We need to make our faith active. We need to step out. We need to be patient. We need to wait on God. We don't need to try to work it out and work it out ourselves and forget God and come up with some secular plan or some self-concocted plan. Just keep on going. Accept what God has. Take it day by day. Trust God, and God will show you. And all along, we keep learning and learning and learning to trust him more. And then we grow into the kind of person Abraham was, a person that is a friend of God. We learn to trust him, and he trusts us with things that he never would unless we pass these tests. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the word and for including in the Holy Writ this story about Abraham and Sarah and all that took place. And may we take these lessons, and may you, Holy Spirit, bring them back, maybe something that's said, maybe an illustration, to our hearts and our minds as we go through some of these trials that are ahead. Trials we don't even know about yet, but they will surely come at some point, and help us to be ready as mature Christians to trust you by faith. In Jesus' name, we make our prayer. Amen.